the country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told. Spend some time in the country, now it's time we start the show.
I've been running, I've been hiding. I've been drinking, I've been fighting. Doing anything to keep from missing you. And on this road that I've been driving, the one thing I've been finding, you can't outrun a dream that won't come true. I'm barely hanging on, but I ain't missing you.
My pleasure to welcome to the show now Quentin Blair. He is the 2015 Manitoba Country Music Association Roots Artist of the Year. And just a few short months ago, he released a four-song EP called Cash Crop, and it is wonderful. It's getting terrific reviews, produced by Murray Pulver, who many of you will remember from the great country band Doc Walker. And man, we're going to hear a couple of the songs from that EP and get the stories behind them. Welcome to the show, Quentin.
Good day, my friend. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you here, man. I can't wait to talk about the album and to share the songs for anyone who hasn't heard them so far. They're just going to love these songs. Let's start off with Cash Crop. Tell me about the title, naming your EP that.
Well, the line Cash Crop, it's actually in the song Following Him Around. And it kind of comes from, I guess, a little bit of frustration on my part. You know, we had a bunch of gravel trucks that were rolling down in front of our house, and they were mining some gravel next door, and it just came out in the song, stealing her bones for another cash crop. So it was kind of a poignant political statement, and somehow it just landed as the title of the album. Seemed fitting kind of for the collection of the songs, because a lot of my songs have agricultural references in them, and I kind of go through life as a songwriter thinking of myself as just doing social commentary, really, and seeing things, and most stories and most songs are based on true events that I've kind of been a part of or that I've witnessed. And so it was kind of just seemed to grasp and hold on to the title of the EP there as being Cash Crop.
That makes a lot of sense. And another quote, when we talk about storytelling in your songs and just in your conversations, something you said was all of your stories aren't necessarily supposed to be funny, and you don't mean them that way, but they just come out kind of comedic. Is this just kind of your bent on life? When you tell a story, it's going to sound funny?
not really at all. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where I never set out to be funny, or I never try to set something up in a funny way. It just, the stories and the delivery that kind of have a sort of established a reputation as being funny, it's just kind of a dry delivery of a story and finding the irony in it. And it also comes from, I mean, I kind of got comfortable telling stories as a part of my stage show, you know, because I tour a lot as a solo act. And when you first start out touring, you're playing a lot of, you know, restaurants and honky-tonks, and it's tough to hold a crowd when it's just you and your guitar. So I found that the way that I could really win a crowd was by telling them the stories. And so, you know, I just practice night after night after night telling these stories, and then you sort of just find the delivery and you find the wit, and people find it funny, and, you're just telling the story.
Exactly. Well, that's great. What a great technique and a genuine thing to do, to be able to be at ease to talk to the audience and just be conversational about it. Because I know when I go to a show, I love, you know, it's not just the music I'm going for, but I want to hear the performer, you know, give some insight into their life or a story behind the song. I want it to be kind of a conversation along with the music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that. In the genre of country music, I mean, the tradition of it is based on storytelling. And so that's why I think that you know, there's so much value today in storytelling, because maybe we don't put the same emphasis on it now as we have in the past, but that's really the roots and traditions of country music.
Now, we're going to play a couple of songs from the EP. Once again, it's called Cash Crop, available at iTunes. One of the songs I want to talk about is Won't Be Missing You. You co-wrote it with Clayton Bellamy, and this is a beautiful song, track number 4. Tell me about writing with Clayton. Of course, great artist on his own and a big member of the Roadhammers.
Yeah, well, Clayton and I met at a Roadhammers show, actually. We were opening up for the Roadhammers, and you know, partway through the show, I happened to look side stage, and there you see Jason and Clayton standing there. And I guess not many guys tour with a pedal steel and upright bass anymore. And that was the formation. We had drums, upright bass, pedal steel, and myself on acoustic. And the guys were just standing side stage, and I happened to make eye contact, and they both gave us a thumbs up. And after the show, they kind of you know, come and introduce themselves to us, and we start hanging out. And Clayton said, "Hey man, I'd love to write a song with you sometime." And so we started it from there, and we wrote over Skype. It took 2 sessions, and we came up with that tune. And the cool part was, I had initially envisioned that song as being very much of a power ballad. And as soon as Murray got a hold of it in the studio, he just said, "You know, pull everything right back. No major fills, no big guitar licks, just play the song really, really well, but don't make it flashy, don't splash anything." So we kind of went into it, and I was so blown away with how it came out, going, this is what I wanted it to be the whole time. I just didn't recognize that. So that's the value of having a producer that's on the same wavelength as you.
That's a great story. I love hearing how a song is produced and the choices that go into that, because you hear a lot of times that, you know, production can't make a good song great, but I think production can definitely take a great song and make it a lot better or change the power of it. As you said, in this case, if you had gone the other way and done it as a power ballad, it probably wouldn't be as effective as this stripped down version, which I think that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like you pick up so many other elements in it, kind of like the song Following Him Around. You know, I would get into a conversation about that being kind of like a heartland rock. It's almost like it almost defies your kind of mainstream country, but it's still clearly country. But I mean, the feature of a big harp on it. I mean, I've got Grant Siemens playing guitar all over that record, and he's my hero as far as guitar players go. You know, Murray's no slouch either, and I just we're laying down the tracks. I'm like, sorry, boys, this is a harp solo all day long. So we put the harp in there instead. And it's kind of funny how it just kind of pulls different influences out when you kind of get in and you don't have it honed down to precision. Like, we didn't have everything down 110%. And part of the reason was is we wanted to maintain that spontaneity, but we had our general ideas as far as how we wanted to pull this back. And Murray's kind of standing there orchestrating the whole thing on the fly as we're doing it. And it just came out great between both of those songs.
Tell me about working with Murray and what he brought to the album as a producer and the great things he did.
Well, we've been talking on and off for about a year as far as, maybe even a bit longer than that, as far as putting something together and who we wanted to work with and what the kind of the goal and the trajectory what we were hoping the trajectory would be of the album and what it was supposed to do. You know, he's seen me play a bunch, and he's heard my songs a bunch of times, and we've worked with Doc before. And so it wasn't anything new to him as far as what he was getting involved with, as far as I'm aware. And it was just that moment where you just kind of just surrender control to the producer and say, hey, we're stamping your name on them. So it's your call, it's your move. And, you know, there's a couple times where, especially when we were first talking about, you know, Won't Be Missing You and kind of changing the feel of it, you know, I was just kind of, I needed some coaxing to go, like, this is the way that we want it to go, and this is going to be the best thing for the song. And, you know, didn't take very long, and you start to catch that vision, and you're thrilled with the outcome. So he's got a great ear and a great ability to just finesse a song together and really allow the song to stand on its own and not have other instrumentation get in the way.
Let's turn to one of the songs from Cash Crop, your 4-song EP, available at iTunes. People can also check you out at quintinblair.com. So Following Him Around is the first one we're going to play, and you wrote this with Blake Berglund and Del Barber. Tell me a bit about the writing process, and then we'll share the song.
Well, Blake is a guy from Moose Mountain, Saskatchewan, and Del Barber is from English, Manitoba. And so we're pretty much all apart by, you know, four to 6 hours, I guess. So we're great friends, but we just don't get to see each other at the same time very often. And they're both roots country. I mean, Del kind of came up in the folk world, and his last two albums have been definitely more along that roots country line, and Blake is roots country through and through. So, and we all kind of live a Western lifestyle and have farming in our heritage, and you know, we wear the cowboy hats and we ride horses and work cows, all that kind of stuff. And so Blake was out at my place for a couple of days last year, and I said, "Hey man, let's just sit down and write a song. I feel like we haven't done that for a while, so let's do it." And I played him this song, and he goes, "Well, it's pretty much done. We don't have to do anything to it." And I said, "No, I think there's something here, and I think we can make it better. I think we can beat this." And we took the entire song apart, and we put it back together piece by piece. And Del showed up about 3 hours later and just kind of helped us put the finishing touches on it. And we took it into the studio and left lots of room for Murray to have room to work on it too, as opposed to the other three songs went in, you know, 95% complete. He was just kind of changing a few things here and there, and you know, we added in a few measures and we took a few out, and but following him around, we definitely left him lots of room to work and freedom to change some chord progressions if he wanted to and stuff, and so kind of a group effort all around between Murray's producing and then with Blake and Del and myself.
Well, let's hear the song now from my guest, Quentin Blair. This is Following Him Around on In the Country.
Well, the round bell feeder sits empty still, but three white fence wraps around this field. And I can't afford the mailbox anymore. Well, the cattle picked through the last of the hay was all full of mold cause it bailed in the rain. So I turned them out just to graze on the standing corn. Has man supposed to keep it all tied down when he feels a ghost? I'm following him around. Is it oil money running a small town store where they stole it from Steel Town the night before? Send it away for the day to bring it back again. They're just cutting it out, driving it up, stealing her bones for another cash crop. Some days I think they'll let anyone buy this ground. Has man supposed to keep it all tied down when just to walk across the kitchen floor. Has man supposed to keep it all tied down when he feels a ghost?
And that is Manitoba's own roots artist, Quentin Blair, here on In the Country. And that is his song called Following Him Around on his EP. You can check that out at iTunes. And we have another song coming up from you in a bit. I love this label that you've given yourself, the phrase self-ordained troubadour. That's just so catchy. And, of course, we all know troubadour, and I guess self-ordained, meaning you've given yourself that title. Tell me what that means to you.
I guess it's just that guy that throws the guitar in the back of the truck and, you know, drives to 120 shows a year and travels around and tells stories and writes songs and kind of just, you know, you're making new and sometimes interesting friends every night and you kind of keep your eyes out for people who are going to kind of work their way into a song nicely. And I guess it's just
right.
That guy who's just going down the road hard and singing songs.
That is so cool, and we can envision that, and we've seen those type of artists like yourself doing that. And I love that a lot of your shows are, as you mentioned before, just you and the guitar, because there's something very intimate about that, and it cuts through, you know, all the other instruments, as great as it is to hear a full band, but it's a totally different experience to hear you and your guitar.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's definitely a different art to it, and, you know, you have to be able to, like, you've got to be really comfortable on your instrument and kind of be comfortable in your storytelling and in your song delivery and song selection then plays a big part in it, because I always feel that if you walk in with a AAA band, you can blow anybody away. But then when you step up with just you and your guitar, you've really got to earn it.
Right.
So, I mean, and, you know, proof to that, I was at the Garth Brooks show in Winnipeg just over the weekend here, and Brett Kissel was opening the show. And I mean, I know Brett's story and I know a lot of his music, and I mean, just where I'm at, I mean, good, bad, indifferent. I'm not necessarily into sort of the modern pop country the same way, but then I see him play just him and his guitar, and I'm like, the guy can play, can sing, the guy can, you know, work a microphone in front of, you can tell he's been on the road since he was 13 or whatever it is, right? You can tell he's
mm-hmm,
put in all
sure.
that time. And that's sometimes, you know, what we hear on the radio, you know, you see it with the band and it's one thing, you see it him and his guitar and it's a totally different thing. So it was good for
right.
me to see that, and good for me to kind of like jump on board and go, hey man, like, I loved what you're doing before and I love what you're still doing now. You know, it's kind of a cool thing to see it that way. So I wish I could see every artist with just them and their guitar and really, really see their artistry shine through at that point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is where the artistry does shine through. And you can hear their songs on the radio and love their songs, but then you see just the guitar, it's stripped down, and it is it's just a whole other way to experience the music. When
Absolutely.
You are performing, Quentin, and you throw in cover songs, do you ever throw in songs that might not be and aren't Roots songs, but you do a cover on them and turn them into a Roots-style song?
I guess sometimes I get asked the question, you know, what's your guilty pleasure as far as music goes? Like, what's
sure.
the song we're going to find on your iPod that we're not expecting? And
and
it's a terrible answer, but I'm country through and through. So, you know, a lot of the times I'm listening to old Waylon or I'm listening to old Merle and going, like, this is what I love. So, you know,
yep.
I'll do like a my own rendition of Bobby McGee or my own rendition of Working Man Blues and kind of dig into those deep country tracks, but I don't sway too far from the genre as far as going and finding a pop song and converting it to a country song, because I'm just not in that wheelhouse. I wish I had a cool answer though, saying, you know, here's this deep track by whoever that I convert to a country song, but that's just not the case.
Well, I know you do a great cover of Merle Haggard's songs, because I saw on YouTube and via your website your cover of Silver Wings, which is one of his greatest, and he has many great songs, but you do a great job on it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. In fact, the Merle passed the week of my CD release show, and we had over 500 people come out to the Winnipeg Convention Center to see the show, and it was just kind of that, you know, it was kind of flat because, you know, 2 days ago, a hero of ours passed away, and we just said, you know what, we just got to open the show with a Haggard song and just dedicate it to him. So, you know, we played Silver Wings acoustically with just harmonies and my vocal on my acoustic guitar, and took the hat off and kind of tipped it to him at the end of the night kind of thing. And yeah, no, huge fans of Merle Haggard, and we're playing at Country Fest in Dauphin on Sunday afternoon on the main stage. And of course, Merle was supposed to play Sunday night on the main stage. And we were pretty shaken all the way around. Just it's a tough time because you kind of feel like you're at the tip of that iceberg, and all these guys that you've grown up with, you know, we're that's just life. That's a cycle of life. We're going to start to lose them more and more. 2016 has been a tough enough year. I'm a huge Guy Clark fan. In fact, Guy Clark and Merle Haggard would probably be my two biggest influences, and we lost them both within a couple of months from each other. So we just did a big tribute to Guy Clark here in Winnipeg with a bunch of other Winnipeg songwriters who are kind of influenced by Guy. And it's funny, you can be miles and miles away from Texas, but, you know, you still come back to songwriting, and he's impacted some very major songwriters from Winnipeg. So it's been a tough spring, I guess, as far as that kind of stuff goes. But the silver lining is that we've also got their music. Right, and their music is going to be a part of us now for as long as we're around.
Absolutely, yeah. We can go back and listen to those Merle tunes and enjoy them just as much as ever. And that's the great legacy that they leave behind. You're absolutely right. Let's turn to another song from your Cash Crop EP. And this one, I know I was reading, is based on a very true story, as many of your songs are, 300,000 Kilometers. Tell me about this song before we play it, Quentin.
Well, I was playing in Dauphin, Manitoba. I guess we were just talking about Country Fest. So same neck of the woods. I was playing a big theater opening for the New Country Rehab, and they were sold out show at the theater. And at the end of the night, I guess everyone kind of comes through the line to buy T-shirts and CDs. And this gal comes through the line and she says, you know, you see that Mercury Topaz out there? She points out the big window. Beautiful picture windows of the theater, and sure enough, there's a rusty old Mercury Topaz sitting there. And she says, "Things got 400,000 kilometers," and right there, I was like, "I think we might be coming onto a song right now." And sure enough, the next day, I was driving through Riding Mountain National Park, and had the windows rolled down. It was the end of March, so I had the heat cranked right up, and I just started thinking about that interaction, and I wrote this song. I took a few liberties into the story because I needed to make it a little bit, I needed to give it, to round it out a little bit. A 5-minute conversation, someone doesn't really give you enough to always completely write a song. But I've played it for her.
Sure.
She's come out to shows since then, and I was a little bit worried as to how she would perceive it because, you know, like I said, I did take some liberties into the story. But she loves it, and actually, when the album came out, she emailed me saying that the car was over 430,000 kilometers now. It's still running, but they don't always take it to town because it's not that reliable anymore. But if the stars align and they kind of feel they can make it, they'll take that car for another spin. And she's offered for me to come and take a ride in it, and it was in pretty rough shape, so I declined the offer politely. She's such a fixture. Yeah, absolutely. And she's such a fixture in the parkland of Manitoba that you can walk around and say, "Hey, this song is about Kat." And everyone knows who she is. And in fact, even if I don't use her name, people will come up at the end of the show and say, "Is that about Kat?" Yep, sure is.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So she's kind of got, she's just got a reputation as a music lover and a supporter of all things local. And, you know, she's kind of got that I guess people in the community have really embraced that. And so it's funny that now we've got a song about her and she loves it. And they played a lot out there.
Yeah.
So.
Let's show the song now. This is my guest, Quentin Blair, 300,000 kilometers on In the Country.
Stars on the Midwest, scars on a broken heart, and she relived memories with her tattoos in the dark. Till the wild ducks, they call her name, she points a car northwest. Stopped at the end of the day to top a tank and get some rest. And it's 300,000 kilometers.
She'll push that Merc for 100 or more. She'll get lost somewhere in the mountains where he can't haunt her soul anymore. From the pines, or when a soft breeze will blow, can change your time and place and life. And somewhere in the hills, yeah, somewhere far away, she's got a small herd of horses and a place to make some hay. And it's 300,000 kilometers. She'll push that Merc for 100 or more. She'd get lost somewhere in the mountains where he can't haunt her soul anymore. But time, it has a way of fixing things that we cannot change. Search your heart and search your soul for the narrow road to lead you back home. Summer sun sank down and slowly faded into night. And miles turned to years and she spent running. Oh, when you don't look back, you always see what's coming. And it's 300,000 kilometers. She'll push that Merc for 100 or more. Get lost somewhere in the mountains where he can't haunt her soul anymore.
And that is the 2015 Manitoba Country Music Association's Root Artist of the Year, Quentin Blair. The song is called 300,000 Kilometers from his EP, Cash Crop, which you'll find at iTunes. And, of course, you'll find him online at quentinblair.com. Songwriting is such a big part of what you do, aside from performing. When did you first discover your love of songwriting?
Well, I guess I started playing. I played piano for most of my life, till I was finally at the point where I could tell my mom that I didn't really want to go to lessons anymore. Kind of that moment when you finally realize you can stand up to your mom about something. And so I was 25 years old when I quit piano lessons. I'm glad you saw through that joke. Because on the telephone interview, not everyone sees through that joke. But I quit piano I don't know, 13, 14 years old or something. And then I picked up the guitar in grade 10. And it was a perfect time to learn how to play guitar because you don't really have that much of a life yet. So you could sit in your room and still play for 3 hours a night. And I was totally captivated by it. And then in grade 12, a new fella had moved to our class from Toronto. And we hit it off right away because we were both musicians and stuff. And we didn't have any common ground as far as musical interests go. And I was big into, Neil Young. And I was, listening to a lot of classic rock, I guess, at the time. That's kind of where I cut my teeth playing guitar. And so we just started writing songs so that we could play music together. And he was a great songwriter, and I just kind of learned the ropes from him. And from there, we just kind of, it's one of those things that once you kind of uncover how it kind of works inside of you and how your brain is working and how you kind of have to deal with it. I mean, there's a lot of nights where I just can't sleep and I just got to get up and write a song. I just got to get it out. Whether it's a good song or not, doesn't matter. I just got to get it out, and you go and you spend your time doing that. And then, you do that enough, you sometimes get songs that turn out not too bad.
And you get better with time, right? You start off writing songs because you love it and enjoy it in the beginning, and you're not necessarily sure what you're doing, but it's happening. And then over the years, time and experience, you write better songs.
Absolutely. And I find that, I mean, songwriting is, in some ways, I treat it like a trade, and I practice it on a set schedule. And so on my previous album called Blues Man, I went every Wednesday morning to a log cabin in the woods, and I would write songs and edit them and work on arrangements just for the solitude of a log cabin, I guess. And then you kind of, you're out there and you're touring it, and you're not writing to the same degree as you were when you were kind of studying your craft. And then all of a sudden you just go through a time in your life where songs are just coming from left, right, and center, and you're just kind of jotting them down, and you're like, wow, this is I'm really hitting my stride. And then you go through another dry spell where it just kind of, and I guess I've just been through enough of those cycles to kind of just embrace that and go, you know what, I'm not a guy that can write a song, you know, every second day for a year, and that's fine. But you know, when that moment hits and when that overwhelming inspiration comes, I just drop what I'm doing and go and deal with it. So co-writing is an important part of country music. And I didn't co-write a lot because folk singers don't necessarily co-write the same way that country singers co-write. And living in between those two worlds, I just ended up writing most of the songs by myself. But I've had some really great success writing with a number of different people, writing up here, writing over Skype, writing down in Nashville. And you learn a lot about the art and about the delivery. And then you also learn about what your strengths are and which writers you work really well with. And we had a couple of magical sessions down in Nashville earlier this year that I'm excited to put down, hopefully in the next 6 months, and share with people again. So,
yeah, we look forward to hearing that new music from you, Quentin. And, of course, your EP is out now, Cash Crop, which people can check out at iTunes, and your website, quentinblair.com. Thanks so much for being here. It was great to meet you and have the conversation.
Yeah, really appreciate it. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. My guest has been a Manitoba roots artist, Quentin Blair. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.